Welcome to PBIS Journey to Genius. Are you in the process of implementing PBIS? Are you wondering where to start? You are in the right place. We are here to support you. Stay tuned.
Welcome, everyone. This is our next episode of PBIS, Journey to Genius. I'm Diane Farrow. I'm here with
Diane Ruff.
And we come with a podcast every week about our journey through PBIS as we've done it at Minerva. And we've been highlighting schools from different areas to bring on their most proud moments when they were going through their journey. And we always felt, Diane and I always did, that the best programs come through learning through others and putting that all together, because nobody can just do it all on your own. So our school today is Dover and the Dover Tornadoes. And Diane, do you want to introduce our people a little bit?
Well, I think I'm going to turn it over and let them introduce themselves. So go ahead, Katie.
Hi, I'm Katie Nicholson. I am the principal at Dover Avenue Elementary.
And I'm Mary LeBrake. I'm one of the fifth grade math teachers.
Perfect. So they have been working on their PBIS here, and we're reaching out to them to see what they have to do. But first of all, we want them to kind of talk a little bit about themselves. So tell us each why you got into education, you know, like what started you down that path?
Why did you want to be a teacher?
Yeah. So for me, like, there wasn't any, you know, big moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I have to be a teacher. But in high school, I kind of went back and forth because both my parents are in the medical field. So it was either teaching or medical field. And I have a younger brother with Down syndrome. And it was one of the days that I was working with him on some of his homework that my mom was like, you know what, Mary, I think you would be a really good teacher. And I mean, it wasn't anything big, but I just remember that moment being like, yep, okay, I'm going to go into teaching. So
I love that.
Well, that is a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think it was just, I have always been a helper. So like that, I just is like, that is who I am ever since I was little. That was kind of the way I was. I've always loved like working with children. So when I was in high school, I would try and do things in my church and in my community. That was just something I really, really loved. And then as I got into my teaching experience, I was like, this is what my heart was made for. And then as I got into more teaching experience, I was like, you know what? I really like leading and helping others, not just students, but helping adults. And so being in a leadership role, I get the wonderful opportunity of not only helping students, but also helping teachers. I'm really trying to come and surround them and support everyone.
Oh, and how long have you been both? How long were you a teacher? How long have you been an administrator?
So I've been an administrator. This is my third year. And I have been, this is my 11th year of education. So I was an intervention specialist prior to that.
And this is my 11th year in education as well. So
okay. Yeah, right. Good. Yeah. Great. So what, you probably have some aha moments, like what keeps you coming back? You know, as you think over the last 11 years or so, is there that special moment or something that's just happened that like, oh my goodness, I just love what I do?
I wouldn't say that I have just like one big aha moment, because honestly, there are some days where it's really tough. I mean, we all know that education can be rough, and all the different things that we're required to do now, it's daunting. Like, you know that there's so many people that are leaving education because of all of it. But so it's not anything big. It's just like those little things that happen. Like maybe something happens one day, maybe it doesn't, but you know, an EL kid who's like brand new to the country, who's just so excited to work, like when you get to pull them one-on-one and work with them, and they give you giant hugs and little notes that you're not expecting from kids, or seeing a kid who you had like years ago that come up and, you know, get so excited that they see you. It's all those little moments that make all the tough moments.
And you have
bearable
to keep remembering those, don't you? Like,
yeah.
You almost,
oh, yeah,
have to write them down. Yes. And put them above. Yeah. So that whenever you had that day, you know, you can look at those little moments and go, this is why I'm going to come back tomorrow and not clean my desk out today.
Yes.
For sure.
And you,
I think for me, it was last year, actually. So it was only my second year as a principal. 10th year in education, it was literally the most trying year that I have ever been through. The behaviors we saw, I felt like once we had one behavior resolved, then like all of a sudden a new behavior started up with another kid. And we're not talking like, hey, this kid is being disrespectful. We're talking like full seclusion. We're restraining kids. We're chasing down kids in the hallway. It was a lot. And so I was exhausted, but every single time that we had a moment of difficulty with the kid, I was reminded of like, this is exactly why I'm here. I have a fantastic staff and team of people who are willing to jump in and help. And honestly, I would say that's one of the best things about Dover Avenue specifically is that like, if someone is struggling or if we need help, anyone is willing to jump in. And so through every single situation we had, hearing some of the most traumatic life experiences that some of our kids are going through, like it explains why you see some of that behavior. And so it gives me so much more compassion for what they're going through and understanding. But again, just that good reminder for me of like, you know what? I am exactly right where I need to be. And as exhausted as I am, and the days that I'm like, what am I going to wear to chase a kid down the hallway?
I think that too.
Yes. I'm like, you know what? I know what I'm, where I'm supposed to be is right here. And it was exhausting, like Mary said, but it's everything that I know that I'm supposed to be doing. Like I get to help. I want to be the light to those kids and to the staff to be able to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'll be in the trenches with you. But we are here together. So
it's very much that servant heart.
Yes. Like,
yeah. Cause I think you and I both have that. And it's just, we know so many of the kids don't have that. And so we have to be that person for them.
Yeah. That's what and really understanding like that their lives are not the lives we grew up with. Mm-hmm. And so trying to understand like, okay, if I had to deal with that going home, you know what? It explains a lot as to why they come here, and we need them to understand like, you're safe, you're cared for, and you're loved. And that's what we're here to do.
And your position, you're the teacher, so you're in the trenches all day long. But your position is so important because you understand her position. And then to help her whenever she's ready to lose her.
So yeah. And I try my best to do that too.
No, but it's so important. A principal is amazingly important. And I worked side by side with Diane for many years and watched great things happen as an assistant principal. So I do know that. Well, I'm sure that Dover is very lucky to have you both. So we're going to move on a little bit to PBIS now. So in your PBIS journey, we've been asking schools, what are you most proud of? What would you like to highlight in your tier one, you know, established doing?
So we just implemented our new PBIS system really fully last year, last school year. Because like Katie said, this is her third year as our principal. And before her, it's like so many different things happened where we grade leveled and then COVID hit. And then, so all of our positive behavior and behavior system was so messed up and no consistency. So, I was working on my master's program and getting ready for my principal internship. And I was speaking with Katie and we were trying to figure out what my project was going to be. And we both were like, yeah, we need to fix this. It is so rough right now. And so that's when we started working on implementing and creating our own PBIS system. So, but when we started looking at this, it was in February of 2022. And what we used was literally all on paper. Like there was no digital tracking whatsoever. And Katie and I are both really into data. Like we like to look at data. I'm a math teacher, so I love the numbers.
You and Diane should have lunch.
But so we were able to collect a lot of those papers and try to analyze it. So in February of 2022, only 61% of our student population had received any type of positive reinforcement.
Nice that you found that out.
Yeah. Good to know. And so then, you know, we did all of our planning. We started rolling things out in the next school year. And by November of that school year, of this year, we looked at this year's data for February. Since we're in February again, 93% of our students have gotten positive reinforcement.
That's good.
And a lot of them multiple times too. So that's jumping from 61% to 93% just in 2 years. Like, we're really proud of that. Because, you know, in the beginning, we did have some naysayers that did not want to do this.
And I think too, like, going from that paper system to an online system, we're actually able to say, like, okay, this is a true representation of what we're actually getting. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, of course, account for all the, hey, you did a really great job, mm-hmm. but it's like our specific positive reinforcement that we're using too.
Yeah. How do you track that? Is it like a Google Doc that you made, or is it?
So we tried really hard to get a actual like platform, like Live School, Kickboard, things like that. We really wanted it, but it just was not in our district's budget. So we went back to the drawing board, and we ended up coming up with, we use a Google form for our positive reinforcement. And then anytime we have to track any negative behaviors, we use a Google Sheet where we have it all analyzed based on the time, the place that they're at. So that way we're able to sort through all that. It's not the prettiest thing in the world.
It's a massive spreadsheet for both the positive and the negative stuff. It's not the best, but it has worked for us for, again, free. So you can make it whatever you want when it's free.
What's the size of your building? What's the size of people who might?
We have about 385 students here.
Okay. So just to know, you know, using a mm-hmm. Google Sheet like that, if it isn't in your budget, you know, to get mm-hmm. one of those programs that are out there, you know, using that. But I just wondered what size should be.
Yeah.
So what are the types of acknowledgments that like you track? Do teachers go in every day and put in certain things, or you know, what are some of those examples?
So we use the Google form for what we call tornado shout outs. So literally any staff member, it's classified or certified, can go in. They can access that Google form, and you can mark any student in the whole school. So it doesn't just have to be in your homeroom. It can be anyone. You see someone pick up some trash in the hallway, you can be like, what's your name? And go grab them, fill it out right then. It takes maybe 30 seconds. That's what we wanted, was quick and efficient, that because we know teachers will buy in more if you're like, hey, it's easy and fast. So that's the one way that we do it. And then every week I randomly draw names of those names that have been submitted through that Google form, and I announce them on the announcements. And so then we have a fourth and fifth grade winner every day. And then at the end of the week, we do pictures that kind of go on our slideshow in the hallway of those students who have been randomly chosen.
That's cool. Slideshow.
Yes. To kind of honor them and their what they've been doing. And then each month we do a top tornado chosen. And so the teachers work together within their teams to decide who's going to be like our one or two students of the month that we get to honor. And so then through that, then they get lunch with me. And that, honestly, that's been probably the most fun thing I've done, because it's just a very relaxing, chill time for them. I get to hear the funniest things about what they love about Dover Avenue, and maybe what they don't love. And just some of the fun, like fourth and fifth
lunch
grade
groups
things.
Are the best.
They are.
From a guidance counselor, I had lunch groups all the time. They are the best. Kids are hysterical.
They're lunch very groups fun. Are the best. Yeah. And then we do a 9 weeks reward for the whole school. So if students have earned that, then they get to participate in that like 9 week reward party that we have.
So really, your spreadsheet is kind of like a school dojo type thing, only just doing it. And then teachers get on, they fill out a little form, and that's what you do the drawings from. But then they go in and make the marks. So you're not trying to make 300 marks and stuff as an administrator. So they go in, make the mark on the spreadsheet, quick and easy, fill out the little form and put it so that you can make the drawings.
Yep, very easy, absolutely.
Very quick. Yeah, but that's what it's like. You just made it yourself.
Yes. Yeah. A free version.
Yeah. And we did look at Class Dojo. We just felt like because we're fourth and fifth grade building, it was too babyish for our building. Like because our second and third grade building uses it, but we just,
We did a similar thing. I mean, the same principle. Yeah. Without money attached. Yeah. That is awesome. Yes. So if you see your statistics go up like that, that makes Diane happy.
Mm-hmm. Love to see that happen.
Yeah.
So what else did you want to share with our listeners today?
I think for me that as a building leader, the one thing we really tried to reinforce, and I'll let Mary share a little bit more, but we wanted it to not be one more thing. The last thing everyone needs in education, especially right now, is one more thing. We really needed to, first of all, replace the old traditional style of let's only talk about the negative, and also making it, again, very efficient for teachers to use. That way we would, again, buy in more. It was really, we're replacing something else and making it more efficient. And then the other part of that is just making sure that teachers know that this PBIS is part of that multi-tiered system of support. Like, we have got to start with the basic bottom part of that Maslow's hierarchy to really address any other academic needs. And so that has probably been the most challenging part of getting people on board, is saying like, well, we're always talking about like the behavior and everything else. And I'm like, yes, but until we get the behavior resolved, we are not going to be able to even address any math skills that they don't have. So I would say for us, that's probably been one of the biggest things that we've been trying to continually reinforce, is it's not one more thing. It is the very first thing we have to do. And we are replacing other things. We're not just adding on to, we're kind of taking some of the other stuff away.
Yes.
Do you think your staff has almost been relieved, though, that there's now some consistency across your building, where it was maybe some like their own thing? But I mean, before, I'm sure it was this teacher did this, or this grade level did this, or this group of teachers did this. But now you are across the board with this.
Yes, I think so. And it makes my life a lot easier as well, because then I can consistently say like, oh, we need to give some more shout outs in this area. It makes it very easy then when parents call in to say like, hey, what is a tornado warning? And I can explain to them, because everyone uses that same behavior system. When you do something that's not okay,
yeah.
It's a tornado warning. It's a tornado.
I love that.
So, yes. Yeah. So again, we created all of it ourselves. And so I think that has provided that consistency has been so helpful. And it's so helpful for our students of a team of four teachers. So the fact that in Mary's classroom, they could get a tornado shout out, and then they could go next door to Mrs. Morris and they could get a tornado shout out from there. So it's not like, you know, I have to learn her expectations and what her reward is going to be. So it has helped, I think, tremendously, honestly, with consistency.
Well, and just all using the same language of our three pillars of be respectful, be responsible, and be safe. Like, it's so much easier to have those conversations with kids that like aren't on my team. Like, when I'm out on recess duty, there's four other homerooms that I don't see. And so if they're doing something, it is very easy for me to be like, hey, that is not being responsible, and that's definitely not being safe. Like, and they know that. We all use the same matrix. And so it's just, from the teacher standpoint, I can see that the consistency is so much better.
And with you being in this 11 years, but really only seeing this the last couple of years, as you put it together, you can see the difference big time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just really awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, one thing we wanted to say, okay, so now you're going to give a tip to a school that's been listening, you know, and what would you say was your number one tip as someone's moving forward with this? They were you 3 years ago, you know, what's your tip?
Don't get yourself overwhelmed. That's like the biggest thing. There are so many different programs and there's so many different things out there, but you know, there are some programs that are trying to like sell it, like, here's your PBIS system. And you can't just go and purchase a system. Like, it has to work for your building. Every school building is unique. So honestly, like, you have to take and create your own things. Like, whether you do have an online digital system you can use, you still have to create it unique to your building.
Don't you have a team?
That's why it's called a framework.
Yes.
It's a framework so that you can take the framework and then make it your own. And so I just love that advice. Yes. What else?
Yes.
Can you talk about a team that you guys not doing it on your own or feeling like you have to do it on your own?
Yeah, I think that would be my biggest tip, especially as a building administrator. Like, you can't own this. It very much has to be the teachers. Like, I try to stay very, very quiet during any PBIS meetings we have. I'm kind of more of that big picture. Like, I know one of our meetings we had, the team was like, hey, what about this really great idea for a reward party? I'm like, all right, let's talk about what that looks like practically. Mm-hmm. And not that I want to steal any of the fun away.
Diane's nodding. Diane's nodding.
Because I'm like, that's a lovely idea on paper, but what will that actually look like? And then as we start kind of talking through, it's like, okay, we can make that work. So I would say really getting a team around you, because as a principal, you can't own it all. And as a classroom teacher, you can't own it all. It's really saying, like, we need to come together, pull those people who you know are going to be like, oh my gosh, thank God we're doing this. Or other people, you're like, I need to drag you along so you can buy into it early. And so I think really making sure that you have a group of people to surround yourselves with, that you don't have to own it yourself, and give yourself a little bit of patience too. It's been now a year and a half using this system we've come up with. And there's still things I'm like, I kind of want to do this a little bit differently next year. Mm-hmm. I think we can make this better, like constantly refining it just to make it more efficient, make it more practical and better for the students.
Right.
Cool. That's awesome. That is really awesome. And you are just shining through on some of the things that Diana and I have discovered over these years too, especially, not being too heavily in the administrative role of it. You know, mm-hmm. Diane was principal and I was the guidance counselor, but kind of administrative roles. And then having that teacher voice is so big, you know, for that efficacy to happen, that fidelity in the program. Right, Diane?
Absolutely. Yes. Well, I think we're good for today. Is there anything else we want to add?
We really appreciate you guys coming on, and just the fact that you have just started this. You know, some people have been in it for years. They're revisiting it again, and they're trying to, you know, work out kinks and quirks or refresh it. But it's nice to hear from people who are just starting it and they're, you know, being 2 years into it and your excitement. So it's been really good. And I know schools that are out there struggling with their journey will enjoy hearing what you guys said today. So thank you so much for coming on. And thank you, listeners, for taking the time to listen to our show.
We would love to hear from you. Look for us on Facebook or Instagram, or email us at pbisjourneytogenius@gmail.com.
This is Diane Farrell, and I'm with
Diane Ruff,